The Fed launches a fresh sweeping plan to keep credit flowing in America. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Federal Reserve this morning took unprecedented new steps to prop up the U.S. economy, converted to plain English. The Fed's moves this morning are about propping up all sorts of credit for big and small companies and households to offset what the Fed called the tremendous hardship caused by the coronavirus. Among other things, the Fed will buy as many bonds as it takes. Let's bring in economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Hi there.
Good morning.
What the Fed did is about unclogging credit markets, I think.
Absolutely. They fired another round of ammunition into the markets, expanding their mortgage buying, moving into corporate bond markets to get cash to companies, and an additional relief for state and local governments by providing some financing. They also announced that they're working on a facility for small business loans. It's operationally undoubtedly very complex, but they wanted us to know that they are on the case and working on that.
Unlimited bond buying is the implication here. It's hard to top unlimited.
Yeah, I think they wanted the message to be very clear that they're not going to let a pandemic turn into a financial crisis, and they're going to do whatever it takes. So that's a great message from the Fed.
So a media alert comes out from the Fed last night as well. It caught the attention of both of us on a Sunday night. The Fed said it's asking agencies for info about letting banks work with borrowers affected by the virus. But you see a plan maybe shaping up here?
Yeah, there's an idea floating around for giving payment holidays to households and businesses, which would be a great way to help them get through a temporary disruption in activity and, again, prevent this pandemic and the social distancing that comes with it from turning into a deeper, longer recession. So the notice that came out last night is letting banks know that even if you modify a loan, that won't be considered the loan going bad. It will still be subject to sort of favorable accounting for the bank, and it's effectively encouraging banks to provide those kinds of loan holidays.
Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
The U.S. Senate has resumed talks now on a massive stimulus plan after Democrats wanted more oversight into what corporations are allowed to do with bailout money. Once differences are worked out, Congress will likely offer $1,200 checks to people making less than $75,000 a year. Meanwhile, Britain's finance minister has pledged to pay up to 80% of British paychecks, subject to limits. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, is in London. How would it work there, Victoria?
Well, in short, it's taking care of paychecks for employees who are unable to work because of this pandemic, and it aims to stop companies from laying off workers. So the government said that through a grant program, it will cover wages of up to $2,800 a month for 3 months for employees who have not been let go by their employers or for those who were laid off before these measures took effect. So as long as bosses plan to bring their employees back into the workforce once this health crisis is over, they'll be eligible for this pay. Now, this all comes after companies have warned that severe restrictions on dining out, shopping, and socializing will wipe out thousands of jobs, bring sales to a standstill, and force them to close.
All right. Part of this to keep people on payroll so they can ramp back up after the worst of this. Now, money here has been pledged by the British government, but how easy will it be for companies and employees to access it?
The government has said the program might not be up and running until April, which means payments will be backdated to March. And so while workers still welcome the assistance, companies still have rent payments coming due, which means they'll still face challenges this month, meeting all their obligations before this program goes into place. This plan also doesn't cover the UK's 5 million self-employed workers. So those are delivery and Uber drivers, cleaners, and other gig economy workers. So the government has outlined separate measures for them, which includes deferred tax payments until June and interest-free grants, among other things. But there's mounting pressure for the government to really step in with wage guarantees for this segment of workers, too.
Victoria Craig in London, thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Among the non-COVID-19 stories we're following, the big California utility, PG&E, said this morning it has pleaded guilty to criminal charges in a deadly 2018 fire labeled the Camp Fire, which wiped out a town, Marketplace's Jasmine Garst reports.
PG&E pleaded guilty to 84 counts of involuntary manslaughter and one count of unlawfully causing a fire. It will pay a fine of about $3.5 million. The company already agreed to create a victims fund for $13.5 billion. Investigators determined that a worn-out piece of metal let loose one of PG&E's high-voltage power lines, which then sparked a fire. It's unusual for major corporations to face homicide charges, but internal documents show PG&E knew for years that many of its high-voltage transmission towers needed to be replaced. PG&E filed for bankruptcy more than a year ago, and it's still under criminal probation for the 2010 pipeline explosion in San Bruno, California, that killed 8 people. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
And the New York Times is reporting scientists are researching a list of 69 drugs to see if some of them might help treat coronavirus. This is separate from the quest for a vaccine that might prevent it. For instance, in the last hour, the drug company Roche got FDA approval to do a late-stage study of Actemra, its medicine for rheumatoid arthritis, to see if it might help with the severe pneumonia that can sometimes affect coronavirus patients. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. We are from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.